Broadcasting from Hollywood, California, it's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
Lindsay Lohan eyes the White House. We're talking the new season of Atlanta Housewives. Rita Ora's the only one who wants a new version of Lady Marmalade. And Justin Bieber exposed the hilarious Heather McMahon joins me now. Let the ranting begin. We're about to delve into so many hot topics. I'm sitting here across from a good friend of mine, comedian, actress, and writer, and aspiring Chipotle model, I'm told, Heather.
Hello. How are we doing, Grant?
Doing good. I'm like, just got a long list here of stuff I'm dying to talk to you about. But how do we know each other? We worked together on a project, right?
We did. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, I was like at the beginning of the year. We don't even know.
I was mostly topless on that project. Yeah. You were my fluffer, weren't you?
I think so.
I think you were.
Yes.
That's how it went down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we just bonded on that set. I mean, in more ways than one, I guess. But yeah, no, it was such a good time. And like, you know what? Sometimes you just click with people. You don't even really know them. You don't
right.
know their life story. But you're just like, you're on the same page, the same wavelength. It just works.
Yeah. I think I went up to you and I said, you remind me of like the Jewish grandmother that I've always wanted to be. And that was it. And you were like, yeah, fantastic. And that was, the rest is history.
I own it. I do. I was probably in a bitch of a mood. But usually I'm not the most even keeled person working on set like that. I'm just not used to it anymore. It's just, I don't know.
Well, you
manual
know what?
Labor and me just don't go together.
Honey, preach. Preach. You know, I was in a mood because I was always hungry. Like, every 15 minutes, I needed a new snack. So, yeah, we were going through it together.
We're just too high maintenance for anything like that.
Yes.
We need to be in a studio with air conditioning, a craft service table, and two personal assistants.
Amen, honey. Amen.
I agree.
Live your best life.
Yes. And you can only do it with help.
Exactly. I'm from the South. Trust me. I'm all about it.
So you're from Atlanta.
Yeah, from Atlanta, born and raised. Yeah.
Nice. So let's talk about the upcoming Atlanta season of Housewives. We'll make that transition right quick.
Yeah. Okay. It was like Christmas morning, the fact that Sheree is coming back.
Yes,
I was freaking out. Who gonna check me, boo? Okay.
The best neck roll around. That gif goes, I'm still sending that gif around.
Yeah, I can't even with her. Like, I'm so obsessed. I'm obsessed to see if Chateau by Sheree, or Chateau Sheree, gets built. Has it been built? What, have we even broken ground? I don't know.
You know, I heard that she ended up selling that house before it was even done. Like, she just sold, like, the unfinished.
Like, the bare bones.
Yeah.
I believe it.
I heard she sold it off. But I don't know. They're going to show it. There was a clip in this season on Real Housewives of Atlanta. Like, there was a clip of it. So
of her, like, weeping over the, the for sale sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, I live for Sheree. I'm so excited.
Is he by Sheree still a thing?
It wasn't he. It was she by Sheree.
Well, I know that there was a he, though, because, yeah, Andy Cohen was wearing it one night when she was a guest, and he said, I'm wearing He by Sheree.
Oh, no, she did not start making men's, tuxes? Like, what?
It was a basic gray suit. I mean, she must have just made it for him and said, say. I mean, that's all that it is. But, I mean, it's so stupid. I am excited for her, and they need to have that, like, original chick.
Right.
Carry on, because God knows I am so sick of Nene. I have no allegiance to her. I don't care. Goodbye. And you know what? I enjoyed that whole promo, and her face wasn't anywhere near it.
Right.
I had just as much entertainment coming out of that as I did if she was around.
I have always gone up and down with Nene. I love Nene because she's just one of those people who just keeps it 100 all the time.
She does.
I really miss, like, the first two seasons were so good when you had Kim Zolciak and Nene. Like, side note, people stop me all the time and they think I'm Kim Zolciak. That's like my doppelganger, apparently. So
yes.
I'm like, couldn't have made my day any better. But yeah, so I miss those days of like Kim and Nene together. I thought the last season when it was just Nene, I think you need that extra like crazy element of, you know, the white girls chain smoking cigarettes and drinking Chardonnay, driving her Mercedes. Like,
I think they
need that. And then we have the new girls on this season, Kim Fields, who was on The Facts of Life.
Yeah.
And then Shamaya Morton. I don't know anything about Shamaya.
No, me neither. I don't know anything about her.
I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
Sounds about right.
Pretty sure.
Yeah. I'm glad they keep Kenya around.
She is next level, certifiably, needs to be in a padded cell, crazy.
Yeah, she's like, I think she's like one incident away from having to have her head looked at.
100%.
I don't know, to me, she's like the perfect example of what these housewives are. There's, she's got the rented house, the rented car, but yet she's walking around in these expensive dresses. She's really got nothing actually going on.
Yeah, and I guess she said she has her own production company, or she's a producer.
Yeah, oh yeah, she's a producer of multi-million dollar films. That's right. How she it was introduced.
Which I've never heard of any of them.
No. There was one film.
I just need one title. Like, just give me a title. Yeah. Just one.
Yeah, a box office hit. Yeah, okay. Which one? Name it.
My favorite, honestly, on that show, I live for Candy, because I feel like Candy is kind of like the Lisa Vanderpump of Atlanta. You know, she's the one who actually made something of herself. She actually has her own money. She uses
the platform to actually, like, you know, grow an empire.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I respect her. And now she's pregnant and she's having, you know, taught her husband. They're having a baby together. So I'm so excited to see what's going to happen this season.
Now, did you ever see these ladies around living in Atlanta?
Yes. Funny enough, my mom ran into Nene at like Hobby Lobby, which was like a crafting store. And Nene really is like 12 feet tall. Like, she's like just the tallest woman. And she has her own clothing line coming out, which actually, because I'm a bigger girl, I'm like, I would love to wear like a fabulous caftan by Nene, please. But the funny thing is, they don't really live like in Atlanta proper. So most of them live outside in the suburbs, you know, 20 minutes away from like downtown Atlanta. So it's you know, but it's just funny that it's like, these girls who like live in the, like the heart of Atlanta, but they all live in gated communities.
Yeah,
but it's basically like the Calabasas to, you know,
LA. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Not too surprised.
I just think that they need to have one white chick on the show just to mix it up.
I think so too.
To me, that's my favorite times when Kim was on the show.
Yeah, there's been an element missing, and I've been waiting for them to replace her all along. Yeah. And, you know, what do you think of Portia coming back full time? I mean, she was there. We saw her.
I mean, Portia's, it's kind of like there's nothing. I mean, it's like, I don't think she really brings anything to the show. Cynthia, you know.
She never brought anything in the last, what, three seasons after that wedding?
Yeah.
After that wedding, what was left?
And I mean, you know, is Bar One underground again? She just relaunched it. Like, I can't. You know, I need, that's why I do respect Kenya, because Kenya just brings the crazy and it brings the entertainment.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I did read, though, that apparently Shamaya Morton, the new girl, she's basically the host for the Atlanta Hawks. Mm-hmm. We're going to see on this season her going to Africa to her boyfriend's, like, village to see, I guess, like, if his family approves. Apparently that's where he's going to propose to her. I'm like, what's up with, like, all these girls dating these, like, African princes?
Yeah.
Like, what?
I don't get, where do they find these people?
Exactly. And if these guys are in Atlanta, like, why can't I get an African prince? You know what I mean? Who's got some blood diamonds somewhere? Because I need to be rolling in that money, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's your home turf.
That's
my home turf.
I would gladly go back to Kenya and, like, be the princess of some village.
Oh,
like,
why the hell not?
100%.
Yeah. Let's talk about another housewife. She's also waiting her debut back into life, back into society. Teresa, have you watched, you know,
Okay, I am so obsessed with that entire situation. I love that she had to go to jail first. Okay, let's just break that down real quick. And Joe's basically, like, he's running the house, but you know Melania runs that entire show.
Yeah.
Like, I actually think Melania could go to prison, and I know that she's a child, I get it. But Melania would, like, be the, like, run the gangs in a women's prison.
Run the yard.
Yeah, she would run the yard. Yeah. So, I'm obsessed with that whole situation. I just love that, like, I mean, at the end of the day, they do have kids, and I do feel bad about that situation, but it's like, I mean, Teresa was, like, surprised that she wasn't, when she got sentenced to jail, she was very surprised. I'm like, you guys didn't pay taxes forever, and you were completely running a whole fraudulent scheme.
And you signed everything yourself.
Signed everything.
So, and you didn't claim what you didn't know. You claimed you didn't know what you were signing.
Right.
Well, come on. Everybody knows that catches up with you. Now I'm sounding like Phaedra.
Right. We didn't even talk about Phaedra. I know we can't go back, but I live for Phaedra.
The one-liners, yeah.
They slay me. Like, I can't catch my breath. I'm dying over these.
I was legitimately concerned that she wasn't going to sign on and continue, but they need her.
They need her.
And it works.
So she and Apollo, Apollo's just a hot mess, and he's in prison now. But yeah, back to Teresa, I just, you know, it's all so insane. And apparently her books, she's already like writing the tell-all book. The book's going to come out.
February 9th.
Yeah.
I'm terrible. I listen to everything on tape. Like, I don't know if they can give a microphone in there for her to be able to like get going with her audio book. Right. Because if I have to, I'll buy the book. I know I'm not going to read that full book.
Right, right.
I mean, if it was an audiobook, then, you know, of course, living here in L.A., all we do is sit in our cars, like, and waste our lives away. So, like, then I could get to the book in, like, you know, an afternoon, just trying to get, you know, to the 101. But, I mean, like, I really do want to hear it. I mean, but I don't think I'm going to be reading it.
No, no. Well, first of all, remember Teresa, like, doesn't know how to, like, pronounce anything or spell anything. Yeah. So she's going to have to get somebody else to do her book on tape. And I can't, like, she's going to have a ghostwriter or, like, three ghostwriters.
Oh, definitely. All the housewives, they don't write those books.
And, like, a translator because nobody ever understands what she's trying to say 90% of the time.
I don't know. I would love to see how she just an average day.
But she's also in Danbury, Connecticut, which, like, the jail that she's in is supposed to be pretty, like, you know, relaxed, if you will.
Yeah. In the special, she's like, all right, guys, I gotta go. I have an exercise class.
What?
And you know the lawyer is like, just like the fingernails grating into that table because it's like, because Joe said in the show, he's like, oh yeah, she's like in a day spa. And then it cuts to the lawyer and it's like, this is not a country club. Right. She is in prison. So it's like, they are trying so hard to like, you got the lawyer on one end trying to make it seem like she's doing hard time to, you know, to make, you know, everything look good. And then you've got Joe who just, you know, continues to do and say the incorrect things.
I just don't understand why somebody hasn't given him like a cease and desist. Like, you cannot speak. You cannot even go on television. I just don't understand why someone's not pulling the plug on him. Like like you're saying, every time he opens his mouth, his attorneys are like seizing, having full-blown heart attacks because this guy is just, it's like insert foot and mouth every time he speaks.
He really should. I don't understand why they were even on the last season.
You
gotta be
humble. You gotta pretend like you're so humbled by the situation. Yeah. Well, and I love that when they were originally saying like, oh, he's gonna get deported. Okay, first of all, he's from Italy. I don't know if you've ever been to Italy, but Italy is the greatest place on the planet. So I don't, like, everyone's like, oh, it's terrible, he's gonna be deported. I'm like, great, just move your family to Italy and eat pizza all day.
You're not being like exiled to Alcatraz.
You're not going to Uzbekistan, okay? Yeah. You're going to Italy.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
I don't feel sorry for him.
No, so you don't, not at all.
No,
even
though
the little moments that they play on your heart, you don't care.
Hell no. Grant, I feel sorry for the kids, but that's it. No, I don't, because
You pay.
And I just think people nowadays, you've got to pay your taxes. That's the old, like, you have one job. Just do it. You know, like when Wesley Snipes was in jail for not paying his taxes. He didn't pay his taxes for years. It's like, okay, Uncle Sam will catch up to you. There's two people I always fear. Uncle Sam and the mafia. You know, that's it. Other than that, you're pretty good.
Mm-hmm. From one mess to the next, Lindsay made an announcement recently that she will be thinking about running for president in 2020.
Okay, so here's my thought on that. You could not even get through one season of Oprah doing a show about you. You're not running for president. Let's just face it. To me, that sending that message out is saying, I'm using again. Like, straight up.
You think so? Yeah.
Okay.
See, to me, I think it's her just being like, this is like being on the pulse of just getting back into what people are talking about and getting the attention she wants. She claims she wants this private life in Europe, but, you know, when you tweet things like that...
Yeah, what is her deal in Europe? Somebody's got to break this down for me. She's just like, she's living in London, she's living in Italy. Like, what is her situation over there?
She applied for permanent citizenship from Great Britain. In Great Britain.
I'm so sorry. Come again?
So, yes. And now she's thinking about running for president. See, it's always just a joke.
Right,
but
right.
I love her. I love the mother. I have a photo, a framed photo of Dina on my bedside table.
Dina we trust.
I love everything about Dina. She's that documentary. I just ate everything up. The house, the mother, everything.
So Lindsay would rather live in Great Britain. She doesn't want to like hole up with Dina in New Jersey or Long Island. Long Island. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, oh, Dina, it's amazing. Dina. The house is in and out of foreclosure like every other month. If they've lived in it for like, you know, 30 years, it's still like mortgage isn't paid.
I wonder if like Lindsay ever lays in bed at night and just thinks like, I wish I could go back to those parent trap days and just start over.
I think she's so far gone.
So far.
It's just that that's like another time. That's like another life to her.
And I was so obsessed when she did the show on OWN, you know, the Lindsay documentary. But yes. I'm like, how terrifying is it if Oprah shows up at your mom's house to basically like scold you? Like, I've actually seen Oprah in person and she's just the most lovely woman, but just has such a powerful presence. But I'm like, if she showed up at my house, I would be like scared out of my mind.
Yeah. But see, Lindsay doesn't think in consequences with anything. She doesn't think that way.
Yeah.
She just floats through. What is someone going to do to her?
Okay, can we gossip for a second?
Yeah.
So I had a friend who worked at a hotel, and I will keep that under wraps, who basically waited on her, and she stayed at the hotel for like 2 weeks, and like every single credit card got declined. Her boyfriend had to like throw in the cash for it, and when my friend went in to then look at the room afterwards to see like incidentals and all that stuff, she said there were just chicken wings everywhere. She's like, I don't know if Lindsay like had like a party platter of like 1,000 chicken wings. She just said there were literally chicken wings everywhere. So
that's what they found, huh?
Yeah, what is she doing for money these days?
I know she did those plays. I don't know what the hell type of money.
Trust me, there's no money in plays.
I know. I'm like, I'm trying to think.
You're not making enough money in a play, even on the West End, to support your Ibiza yacht habit. Like, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way.
She just pollinates from group to group of people, and then she burns them out and moves on to the next.
Right.
I mean, I would love to go out with her. I heard that.
Yeah, because it would be the best time of your life.
Her and her mother, I did hear a story that they had a table at the Abbey in West Hollywood, and that the mother just kept ordering bottle after bottle after bottle, and then they all went back to Dina's hotel room, and Dina had The Parent Trap on DVD, and they all watched it until they passed out.
Okay,
I hope this is true. Like, I would do anything for this to be true, and I'd do anything to be in there watching it with
them. I want
to
be a fly on the wall. I 100% would like give up anything to be a fly on the wall for that situation.
Yeah. This guy told me, he swore that this was the truth, and he's pretty well connected, so I believe that he'd be able to, you know, party with her.
Right.
But I mean, if that is the truth, like it's everything. Oh, I just love Lindsay. I don't know. I don't think she's gonna run, but I just want some. No one's made it yet. I'm looking for a Lohan 2020 banner. I just need it for like my cover photo.
Can I tell you not to get too political, but I have been saying this since day one. If we had just a really intense power lesbian run for office, I'm talking power lesbian as in like drives a Subaru and it's got some Tevas on.
The full
throttle.
Yes.
Has a wife named Tammy, two adopted like mixed race kids. That's who's going to end up winning the next presidency. Like, I'm like, until... Because imagine being a terrorist and you get a phone call from, like, Brenda. You know, she's like, you really want to nuke us? Like, I think you should rethink that. There is nothing more in this world that I respect and fear than a power lesbian. They get stuff done so quickly and efficiently. And I'm just like, God. But they're also so, like, really intense. You know what I'm saying? I respect a power lesbian. You want to get, you know, a stop sign put out the end of your street, you call your power lesbian friend.
Yeah.
Brenda will come over and she will be at the head of city council on Monday, 7 a.m. You know what I'm saying?
And you know what it is about power lesbians? The haircuts. That's what intimidates me. Because they're just like low maintenance, but there's a little bit of style. Yeah. But they're there.
You have a quarter of pomade, just a little bit, just a quarter size amount of pomade, and you could run the country.
I don't know why they just don't put in Susie Orman.
That is the most brilliant thing I have ever heard. First of all, she's already like the queen of fiscal responsibility, so she would whip up the entire financial situation of our country.
She's in that age bracket where it would be appropriate, you know. Right. She could carry that position with like, you know.
Authority.
Yeah,
yes.
Authority.
She's gorgeous. I think she's so beautiful. She rocks the power suits more than Hillary. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Hillary, she still hasn't found her stride in the fashion world. I think, like, my girl suits. I think she looks so, she would look so much better in like a, she would like a gold lamé power jacket.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. A little more flair.
And I feel like she doesn't need any type of first family or anything like that.
No.
She can just run the whole, get in there and get to work.
She'd show up with her two like Cocker Spaniels and just like shut stuff down.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I think we need to, if you're listening,
Susie,
we need you to run for president.
Yeah, it's time.
Although I don't think she drives a Subaru. I think she's a kind of power lesbian who still has like a really, really nice like Mercedes like C-Class.
Probably. Slash maybe like driver. Do you think she has a driver if she's in New York?
She probably does have a driver, but you know, actually the more I think about it, she probably drives like a 1999 Mercedes C-Class because she's like, again, the queen of, you know, being smart with your money.
And the more I think about it, she would never pay a driver.
Yeah.
For a service she could do herself.
Exactly.
No. It's time. I'm telling you, Susie, it's not too late.
Get in the game, girl.
It's not.
Grant and I will run your campaign.
We're all over it. We're already doing it now. Come on.
Come on. Yeah, I think she needs to be the next president of the United States of America.
Well, from one power lesbian to another, let's talk about the Biebs.
Oh, my favorite power lesbian. Please tell me you heard what he said recently about going to church.
I've heard a lot of things recently. I try to forget.
I used to not be on the Bieber train, and now I've gotten on the Bieber train. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to celebrate this kid. Like, he really is talented. But then he came out and said that he goes to church, and he said, you know, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. It's kind of like you go to Taco Bell, you're not a taco. And I'm like, you know what? I don't think you really did the church justice with that one.
No, that's such an insult.
Right.
Supposedly he goes to the church at over here at
the Beverly Hills Montage.
Yes.
And I've heard him in interviews, and I so love, like, you know, he has such catchy songs, and I'm so on board with the whole. I have Bieber fever now. And
well, see, I don't like this new one. I can't
take
to it.
Are you kidding me? What do you mean? What do you mean, Grant? I'm obsessed.
I can't with it. I can't. The baby song was it, and then I reached my expiration.
Here's the thing, though. I saw the music video, and I got to be honest with you. Like, I'm a grown woman, and I didn't. Like, I think I'm seeing Justin Bieber as, like, a man, because he's, you know, he's 21. Like, he's really a man. I was feeling some type of way. I didn't know what to do. I had, like, feelings and emotions that were going through my body, and I'm like, this is weird. Like, I feel like I should always think of him as this, you know, 15-year-old, like, little YouTube star on, like, roller skates. And now I'm like, no, you're a man. You're a real man.
Well, he's out there showing all of it, so.
Right? Well, speaking of which, did you see the penis?
Do we have to talk about the penis?
We have to see the. I am so mad. I was a day late on, like, penis gate. I can't find any photos of the penis. Did you see it?
I saw it on Twitter, unfortunately. Yeah, it popped up.
I can only see the censored photos. I can't see the actual Bieber situation.
Well, the whole thing that gets me about that whole debacle is that his father tweeted support.
Oh, okay. That was uber creepy.
Can we not? Like, really?
Yeah, a dad, just, you can't. He took it too far.
You know, I worked with someone who would brag about the size of their son's penises when they were born.
Wait, what?
And that just made my whole stomach so, like, disgusted. You know, I mean, it was just disgusting.
It's
so
like,
to me, when I saw that, I was like, oh, do guys really brag about their son's girth?
I mean, Grant, here's the thing. I have an enormous gaping vagina, and I let everybody know about it because I'm very proud. You know, like, I have a huge vagina. That's something to be so proud about.
Good for you.
Yeah, so, you know, I let people know what's up. But, yeah, I mean, I think his dad took it too far. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I don't need to know that your father endorses anything like that.
Anything like that, yeah.
No.
And just kidding, guys, I do not have a gaping vagina. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Thank you for clarifying.
For all those hotties that are listening.
Well, I can't talk about this penis gate. I absolutely can't anymore.
I understand.
Rita Ora wants to do a little redo of the Lady Marmalade song that was huge in 2001.
That long ago? God,
yes.
Now we're really aging ourselves.
I know.
Okay, here's the thing. I'm going to say something that's going to be very controversial. I wasn't a huge fan of the song when it first came out. I mean, I loved all the people in it. Like, I live for Pink solo when she's, like, riffing and everything.
See, I put Little Kim on the map for me.
Oh, I live for Little Kim. You know, live for her.
This was, like, pre-plastic surgery, so she was still, like, hood. Like,
so hood.
This, oh, so good. I knew every word to that song when I was 11. I made a music video to it, and I put my neighbor in. It was a toddler. Isn't that awful?
I respect that. The song was okay, but, yeah, Rita, why are you going to redo it? I think Lady Marmalade is as good as it's ever going to be. Don't try and redo something.
No, it's not necessary. We don't need it.
Who was she going to have in it?
Oh, she was going to put a couple different people. No one good. Well, maybe to my opinion.
Right.
Miley, Charlie XCX, and then she said Iggy Azalea. Now, Iggy's like, no one touches Iggy anymore. She's like on the outs.
You know, I actually feel bad for Iggy. I used to listen to her because I'm from Atlanta. I used to listen to Iggy when she would do like mixtapes with T.I. because T.I. is kind of the guy who like took her under
his
wing.
I remember that.
She's so talented. And I think this whole like rap community is like giving her such crap because she's like white and Australian. And I just think she really is so talented. Like this girl can rap her face off. And people just like have thrown her under the bus. I feel bad for Iggy. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I saw this, like, this gravestone. It said Iggy Azalea career, 2014 to 2014.
Oh, my God.
I was like, that's awful, but
it's
kind of
brutal.
But it's kind of true.
Well, you know, everybody ran her out. I think she didn't even, like, really stand a chance.
She's got no tour. She hasn't had any really...
Her tour got canceled.
Yeah, like, I think twice. I think it, like, not once, but twice.
Yeah, I think it's a shame. I think she was really talented. I mean, look, you know, white rappers, hello, Eminem crushed it. He did his own movie. Yeah, I think that the rap community and just the media in general has really just been awful to her.
Yeah.
And I think she's talented. I do. Also, speaking of Miley, have you heard her free album that she just put out?
No.
It is the trippiest... I don't even know how to describe it. I basically listened to it. My girlfriend sent me that. I was like, Heather, oh my God, the free album's out. So I go on her website and I start listening to it. And this is like, you know, 9 a.m. on a Monday when I'm drinking my coffee. And I felt that I had taken 4 tabs of acid.
Oh, God.
It is next level. I mean, you can tell that she's just like out of her mind when she's recording it. None of the songs really make sense.
There was some song about her dead pet.
Yeah, she did a whole...
I heard that one and I
feel like I'm out.
I fast forward and it kept going on and going on. How the hell long is this song? 6 minutes.
And then she did that song on SNL.
That's
she was
what
on a season opener of SNL and she had like photos of her pets on the piano and the outfits. I just want Miley to get back to like the core of Miley, which is like fun and spunky, but it's starting to get weird and too drug induced.
Yeah, no. I mean, she's good. I don't have much respect for that. She knows the age group of her fans.
Right.
Why are you introducing all these bad habits?
Exactly.
I know she can do whatever the hell she wants, but it's just, it's very poor taste and it's very irresponsible.
Also,
because it's so in your face.
I want to know what Billy Ray's like thinks of all this.
Yeah.
Like, is he sitting back being like, Miley, I just love that you're topless 24/7, 365.
Yeah. Oh, and they're doing the naked concert with the Flaming Lips.
The guy from the Flaming Lips helped her with this new album, and so you can hear that kind of Flaming Lips esque sound. But she's like running with that whole crew, and it's a lot of drugs. You can hear it in the music.
Well, and not only that, these artists, it's a huge departure from the last album and where she was, which made her the household name Miley Cyrus and no longer Hannah Montana. Like, that's what made her the MTV, you know, crazy person. So now it's like she went in a completely different direction. Gaga did that with our last album.
Right.
Not the jazz one.
I love the new Gaga. Can we talk about the sophisticated, fabulous, stunning Gaga? I'm so glad she's not wearing meat anymore. I cannot even tell you.
It works for her, but for me, I don't know if Miley will be able to make a transition from something that was fun
And
upbeat to like these drowning, you know, dirges on the piano. But yeah, Gaga looking good. But she's really reinvented herself.
She just looks like a fabulous, like almost like a, you know, she gives me a very Donatella Versace vibe. Like, she's just glamorous now. And I just love her. I adore her. I got kind of off the train when you know, Nicki Minaj started wearing the crazy outfits. It's like, just come back to the core of who you are as an artist. Like, I'm so obsessed with the new Gaga. And I love the beef between Nikki and Miley. I just live
yeah,
for it.
Yeah, yeah, that was good. That was good.
You know, because Nikki's like Lil' Kim, and I know Nikki and Lil' Kim have some feud.
Oh, I'm Team Kim all day, all day.
All day, every day, yeah.
All day.
Yeah.
Nikki is whatever. I mean, you know, I've got some of her music on my phone, but I'm ride or die Kim.
I mean, anybody who's that close to Biggie Smalls, I'm like, mad respect. Mad respect.
Love her. Well, you mentioned the feud between Lil' Kim and Nicki Minaj. Let's talk about the home of the feuds, The View.
Oh, dun, dun, dun. What has happened to that show, Grant? What has happened?
And I know that we talk about this on Grant's Rants a lot. But look, this is something I have a real opinion about. And, you know, we haven't gotten Heather's opinion on The View. So we need to get into it real quick and real deep. The show's a mess. Now, go ahead.
Oh, God. Okay, you know, you and I have both talked about how we completely are, like, terrified of Barbara Walters.
Ugh.
But I don't know what's happening on The View now. Like, Whoopi is just high every day, and, like, you could tell she just doesn't care about anything.
She's, like, counting down for that contract to expire.
How much money is she making?
It must be worth it. I don't know.
Right.
I know they've got her stuck in, like, this ironclad contract. So
right.
She's expressed interest in leaving. She said, you know, she even said in interviews, like, I just go and collect the check. Like, I don't care about anything right. going on behind the scenes. Period. Right.
And Whoopi was talking about on The View the other day. She just wrote a whole book about, like, relationships and love.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, of course I want to read that. Like, I want to know who Whoopi's getting down with. Yeah, Whoopi doesn't care. Whoopi's, like, checked out, like, smoking some weed on the show. Just chilling. She always refers to it too. She's always talking about, like, her relaxing, you know.
She's always talking about her vibrator.
Always. It's a lot of vibrator talk.
It is. I mean, look, ladies, I mean, it's 11 o'clock in the morning.
I mean, I keep a whole suitcase full of dildos in the back of my trunk, but I don't leave them out for display.
Yeah, you're not talking about it.
Exactly. yeah, and Raven Simone's come under such fire recently, and I don't get Raven. I don't. I think she means well, but I just don't get it.
You know what? I've watched her. She's reading other people's dialogue on the prompter. She's all over the room, right. all over the place. She's way too involved. It's just not a good, she's not comfortable with it.
Right.
It's just not, it doesn't work yet. It's not her environment. She's an actress. It doesn't work. I mean, she even said, like, oh, yeah, she even said on the show the other day, oh, yeah, me and this producer, yeah, we're, like, you know, we're locking heads or something like that. It's like she's airing all her laundry on the show.
I just think that the show is not getting back to what originally it was, where it was a bunch of women kind of giving their opinion about, like, hot topics. Now it's just, like, how many people can we offend? And I'm a comic. I'm not politically correct, as you can tell from most of the things I've said on this podcast today. But, like, it's just garbage. They don't know what they're talking about. And I loved Rosie Perez on the show. I thought she was very refreshing.
Well, they couldn't throw her out fast enough.
I know.
Because she had brought something to the table, literally.
Do you think Barbara's just sitting back, drinking a Mai Tai, watching The View, just going, like...
Well, supposedly, she still gets an EP credit on that show.
Of course.
She's still making money off that, so she must have some say in what goes on. But
she'll probably, like, when Barbara eventually passes, I'm sure she'll, like, they'll spread her ashes all over the studio. That's how invested she was. I mean, it was her baby, that show.
And then you've got Raven talking about how she wouldn't hire anyone with the name Water Mandrea. Watermelon Mandrea or something. I mean, then Ann Coulter came on.
That was a hot mess.
I love Ann Coulter when she comes on The View. I think that she spreads a lot of hate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people need to not give her a platform to do it. And, of course, The View will. I think it's a huge mistake. But it's great for ratings. But to give her a platform to spread her
right.
mess is not right. But she went on there and she went toe-to-toe with... Raven, because Raven's like, well, my mother said never say anything bad if don't say anything at all if you're going to say something bad. And then she said, oh, really? Well, you don't practice that. Watermelon Drea, whatever. And it got icy cold.
Everybody hates Ann Coulter. And it, like, I actually, yes, she does say some very hateful things, but I find it so refreshing to see crazy people who just don't have any filter. Like, yes, you can offend people, but I'm just like, I kind of think, I'm glad she kind of put Raven in her place.
Oh, it was great.
You saw the interview when Raven talked to Oprah, and Raven's like, I am from every continent in Africa. And I'm like, well, first of all, Africa is one continent, right? Oh, you mean country, like within the continent? You know, she's just like, Raven's like, she's not black, but she is black, but she's not this, but she is this. It's like, figure out what it is. Figure out who you are.
She's perfect for The View. She doesn't have much of an education, and she's ignorant.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give... I'm going to give her the Sherry Shepherd Award for Excellence in Ignorance.
Announcing the recipient for the Sherry Shepherd Award for Excellence in Ignorance.
I love that. Congratulations, Raven.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Please rate, subscribe, and share on iTunes and social media. Spread the word. There are a lot more rants to come. Follow us on Twitter at Grants_Rants. And now for the one-on-one.
So, Heather, you've made us laugh all this episode, but let's talk now about you.
Okay.
And what makes you so funny, and what you do out here in L.A., and how long you've been here. So, what brought you out here?
Well, I do a mixture of all types of comedy, sketch, improv, stand-up. So, I moved here about 2 years ago. I just had my two-year anniversary with Los Angeles. And I moved from New York, and all my friends are like, oh, Heather, you're such a New Yorker, you're going to hate L.A. And I'm obsessed with L.A. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that says about me as a person, but I love living out here.
Yeah. I mean, it's
Grant, you're
not
from the,
difficult.
So, you're from the East Coast, though. Don't you find your friends in New York or just anywhere on the East Coast like want to hate L.A. so much, and then they come out here and they're like, don't want to admit that they love it?
Well, I have a few friends, like, I can count on one hand that have actually made the trip out here.
Okay.
But a lot of them are jealous, so they won't do it.
Right.
And
yes.
It's true.
It's true.
And I, shout it out because it's really, they just won't do it. They won't give me the satisfaction of coming here. They know it's great and they just don't want to experience it.
Right.
And that's their problem because I'm out here experiencing it and I'm doing it.
I'm sitting in Malibu drinking a pina colada, living my best life.
Thank you.
Yes.
So, yeah, so you can sit at home in the cold weather and make a point to yourself because I'm having a good time.
Well, and I was doing comedy. I do stuff at Upright Citizens Brigade Theater, and we have one in New York and out here. And I finally got to the point where, like, when you're in those New York winters and you have to carry on that giant floor-length puff coat?
Every day of the week.
And I just left a comedy show, and somebody had taken my puff coat, and I was, like, getting into a taxi, and it's, like, during the blizzard, and I was like, I'm done. Like, at least if I'm leaving a comedy show at 2 a.m., let me be, like, rolling out in a bikini. Like, I couldn't do the winters anymore.
Yeah.
I was such a baby about it.
So that was the breaking point.
Yeah, I was just, if I could do the same thing out here in the sunshine, But I have turned into, kind of a pseudo-L.A. person. Like, I've been saying things that I never thought I'd say. I was recently back in the South for a month filming a TV show, and I actually, turned to one of my friends today. I was like, I miss a kale salad. Like, I exercise all the time, which is not who I am at the core of my being. Is somebody who's into health and fitness, and I crave green smoothies. I crave my Zumba class. Like, that's where I'm at in my life, Grant.
I know. I'm thinking right now, after this, I have to change. I'm going to yoga. Then we're going to Body Factory. And it's what is this?
Who is this? No, I still drink. I haven't turned that. I haven't, completely lost who I am. I will still turn up some Chardonnay hardcore.
Well, I wanted to bring some wine here. But in this undisclosed location, we're kind of behind a glass wall. And I don't know how we'd get away with it. But
what do you think's been in my Starbucks cup this entire time?
I'm losing out, Ben. You're enjoying yourself. I'm sitting over here thinking about it.
So I came out here to do comedy.
Yeah, you're here for comedy.
And I, the lifelong dream is to do SNL. So I'm out here working on a ton of new characters, and I'm going to do a showcase soon.
Nice.
So I'll have you shout out those dates when we get those dates nailed down.
Yeah.
All the listeners, follow me on Instagram. It's Heather K. McMahon is my Instagram handle. And I basically take all these crazy characters that I've created, and I show you 15 seconds and the day of their life. I just come up with the craziest people. I legit have a bag of wigs in my house.
Because I looked at these. I went back quite a while and looked at all the different characters. The real estate agent and the neck brace grandmother.
Yes. Well,
and the variety of wigs for sure.
Oh, I live for a wig situation.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm one of those people where I just have so much fun playing other people and I get so into it. I was actually just back in Mississippi 2 weeks ago, and that's where I came up with the idea for Brenda Carlisle, who is Jackson, Mississippi's number one real estate agent, because it reminds me of one of my girlfriend's moms who is actually like the real estate agent. You know, just like just a powerful woman in Jackson, Mississippi. She closes deals. So I just have so much fun with it. That's like, that's what I'd love to do.
And I think it's just so innovative and smart to be able to be integrating that with Instagram, to be able to, I noticed you do this, which is very smart, with the topics, to be able to integrate topics with hashtags to be able to be found, to be able to build followers. Right. You're talking about things, or, you know, stupid little, you know, hashtags that people are searching for, and they come upon you, and then they're commenting. And not only are they commenting on your videos, but they're adding in people be able to say, like, this reminds them of somebody. I think it's brilliant.
I finally got my big break on Instagram with this Kris Jenner video that I did, which I basically just put on a wig. It was the day that Caitlyn Jenner had come out and, you know, was presenting herself to the world. And I just felt like what Kris Jenner would say is like, like completely unfazed by the whole thing. And then, you know, I realized with the hashtags, and then people started tagging all their friends. And then now 400 people have commented, and it like blew my mind.
Yeah.
You know, I see a lot of these YouTube stars who, you know, are 13 years old, you know, 16 years old, and they're like crushing the internet. And I'm just trying to catch up. I feel like an old lady over here. How do I hashtag? Who am I tweeting at? You know, but really, like, this has been a whole new learning experience for me as a performer, and like just trying to use these new ways to get your material out there.
Yeah. I think it's great. I mean, I went back and looked at so many of them, and even the videos with your mother, where it's just you and the dynamic.
Yeah. Robin McMahon has no filter.
I love the one where she's working out on the machine.
Yes, my mom is 68. She won't be mad that I'm saying this. Doesn't look a day over 40. From Boston, Massachusetts. Packed the can, have it yet. But lives in Atlanta. So she's like this pseudo-celebrity in Atlanta because she's this crazy, like, Yankee living in the heart of the South who just doesn't give, you know, a rat's ass about what anybody thinks. And it's so refreshing to me because I'd always talk about my mom and people never realize, like, no, this is not an exaggeration. This is actually who she is. So now that I can put up videos of her on Instagram and really share this, I actually think people find her really refreshing.
Oh, yeah. I love it. I mean, it reminds me of the dynamic with my grandmother when I can get her to really go off on things.
Yes.
Like, it's just, it's real and you can't write it or make it up. It's just authentic. And that's what so much is lacking.
And don't you feel these days, like, I mean, me being in comedy, like, I've always been that person who, I'm not very politically correct. Like, I'm going to touch on any subject. But I feel like with your grandmother and, like, my mom, they grew up in this age where now they're not going to make any excuses or apologies for the way that they feel.
And they don't have anything to lose.
Yeah. I mean, they're like, I don't care. Like, my mom always says, she's like, everyone's too politically correct. Like, just be honest. If we were all honest and loved each other, then maybe, you know, this world would go round. I'm like, that's a good point.
Yeah, because it's swung the opposite direction so much.
Yeah. Now it's like everybody's trying to keep up appearances and you can't say this about that. And it's like, oh my gosh, at the end of the day, we're all making fun of everybody anyways, so.
With all the political correctness, do you feel like that ever holds you back in comedy? Do you ever have to think twice?
Absolutely. And it's crazy, too, with, like, you know, stuff that I put up on YouTube, and then the internet trolls are a real thing, Grant. I'm not kidding you. I've had people send me direct messages, and I don't really put up very controversial stuff, but I've had, like, this real estate character that I have who's just, like, this kooky, funny lady who lives in Mississippi. I've had, like, real estate agents, like, reach out to me and, like, be angered by it. And you're like, this is, like, SNL character. This is not, like, I'm not trying to, like, hurt the real estate business by doing this.
You're in a wig.
I'm in a wig and a gold lamé jacket. But people are crazy. Yeah. And people really do hide behind this, like, internet and their keyboard, and they just want to say everything, but nobody actually has the balls to actually just, you know, be authentic.
Yeah. I love getting the feedback, even if it's something stupid. Like, someone said, like, I think I like Grant, but I absolutely hate his voice. I'm like, I snapshotted that, like, a screenshot and tweeted it. Like, I loved it.
I love it.
This is, like, amazing. Like, I have haters.
You,
like,
and I are the kind of people who can handle that. Like, I have such thick skin. Actually, one of the best comments I ever got was, why is on one of my videos, was, why would a middle-aged woman ever do this to herself? Like, does she know what she looks like? And I'm like, yes. And I'm that committed to the character that you, like, are sitting at home wondering, like, why I'm living my best life in a wig and lipstick all over my face. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I thrive off the haters.
Yeah. Well, people take this so seriously.
We'd be good on The Housewives. I'm just saying,
we would go there. We would just, because we speak a similar language.
Yes.
So we could pull it off real well.
Should we be like the Real Housewives of like Rancho Cucamonga or like some random, the Real Housewives of like East LA?
Oh, God. As long as it's not the Valley. I don't go to the Valley. I, my car won't cross the Hollywood sign. Only in my dreams I wish I didn't have to go there.
Right.
But yeah, let's talk about your mentor. So we're talking about Joan Rivers. I mean, you know.
I live for her.
We were talking about political correctness,
yes.
Saying it like it is,
yes.
The truth,
yeah.
That is Joan.
Yeah, Joan, I used to go see her stand-up shows all the time when I was living in New York, and we kind of developed this, like, you know, small little relationship. She'd recognize me. And I knew this was a sign from God that this is what I was supposed to do. I moved to LA, and I went to Dominic's in Beverly Hills, and I was just, like, sitting at the bar, didn't know anybody, went to have dinner by myself, and Joan's in there. And so I just go up to her, and I said, you know, Miss Rivers, she was, like, kind of like she recognized me, and I said, I just want you to know just how much you've inspired me, and I hope that one day I can just be half as great as you are. And her annoying assistant was like, you want to take a picture with her? I was like, no, I have plenty of pictures of Ms. Rivers. And I said, I just wanted to thank you for opening the door for us women to be able to say what we want to say. And she came up to me afterwards. I was sitting at the bar, and you know, I graciously walked away, and she came up to me, she's like, kid, I'm not worried about you got chutzpah. Most people are too scared to come to my table, and you're going to make it. And I went into my car and I just bawled my eyes out for like an hour, because it's like it was almost like I got the blessing. She's never seen me perform.
Yeah.
She doesn't know, but it was just kind of like from one Jewish grandmother to another, she blessed me, you know?
And not only that, but she's your mentor. Someone to come up to you that way, to have that moment, money can't buy that.
She's just one of those women who is so fearless. And she was starting doing comedy at a time when women couldn't say anything, much less what she was saying. Mm-hmm. So I've just always idolized her. I just think she's so smart, and she was such a businesswoman. She was so fashionable and wonderful. And, you know, Joan is a true icon, because she was the kind of comedian who would show up in full makeup, diamonds on, and a sequin jacket. That's my style. Mm-hmm. I always said, like, my sense of style is old Hollywood glamour with, like, a splash of trash. Like, you gotta have one thing on that's kind of tacky, you know? And Joan was just fabulous. Like, everything about her just oozed, like, luxury and just realness. And I love her.
What I loved about her the most was that she just did everything. She did every show.
Yes.
She was she was on Wendy the most, the Wendy Williams show the most. Like, big shows, small shows. Like, she never said no to anything. And I use that in my own mentality in this living in Los Angeles. Always take a meeting. Always meet people. If there's an opportunity, take it.
Like,
and I get a lot of that from her, because she never said no to much.
I live for the day that I am, like, so, like, famous that I can say, oh, I don't really feel like showing up to, you know.
Yeah, a diaper commercial.
Yeah, a diaper commercial. Yeah,
but she did it.
She did the Extend commercials. Joan was like,
that's what it was, not diapers, Extend.
Extend.
Yes.
She's like, I'll talk about boners all day long. Like, you know.
She did it happily. God bless her.
And it's so crazy to see some of these people nowadays in Hollywood who are not willing to work or are, like, picky. I'm like, I will do anything. I've said, I will talk about, you know, irritable bowel syndrome. I don't care. I will push whatever product it is just to get my face out there. Like, you have to be a hustler in this town.
You have to be. Let's talk about that, because that's so much of what the origin of this show is all about. Just being a hustler, how do you maintain your lifestyle out here but continue to do the work, the comedy work, to get in front of cameras, to find the next project?
I will say that the struggle is real, and it's so crazy having to find that balance between, you know, how do I live the lifestyle I'm accustomed to while also booking jobs? I've been very lucky this year. I've done enough commercial work where I've been able to, you know, have a little bit of a cushion. But I feel like in LA is the kind of town where you're always kind of drowning. You know, you get your head above water, and then there's another setback. I have been so very humbled in the past 2 years being here.
I can totally relate to just humbling experiences.
Yeah.
Really having to be like, looking around me, like, I never thought I would be in this situation.
Right. And what I noticed that's different about people from LA and New York is when in New York, when somebody gives you their word or they want you to, they're going to bring you on a project, it happens. There was never a moment in New York where I was like, oh, this may or may not happen. Out here, I really have to take everything everyone says with a grain of salt.
100% true. Do you know how many people have told me I have jobs to my face?
Right.
And then you can't even get them on an email or on a phone call afterwards.
You actually have to harass people out here.
Yeah.
That's 100% what you have to do.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, to be told
right.
you have a job and then to be like, oh, no, I don't. Like, I mean, you're screwing around people's lives. And I'm really going through that right now as someone
right.
who is, you know, on the job market, kind of seeing what's out there right now. And of course, it being kind of the end of the year as we're approaching.
Right.
Yeah, I totally get like, it's almost like I take it as an insult when I don't
right.
have someone's word with something like that. Because we're trying to do business. I'm not trying to
but
like.
But see, that's the thing, Grant. People out here don't really realize like this is a business. And I think I'm really going to sound like my mother when I say this, but like it's this whole sense of entitlement that everybody just thinks that they should be a part of something. And I'm like, no, I have gone to restaurants that I could not afford like back in the day and sat at the bar to have moments like that to find Joan or sit next to a producer. It's all so much about who you know and playing
yep.
that game.
Absolutely.
And these people that think that they're just going to get away with like their sheer talent, I mean, are like, you know, on crystal mm-hmm. meth. Like you gotta, it's a game that you have to play. And I mean, you know, being a woman in Hollywood, and I've gone on some auditions where, you know, I'll go on an audition. I went on an audition recently for a phone company, and it was for a commercial, and it was all Asian ladies, and it was just me. So I'm like, call my agent, and I'm like, am I missing something? And they're like,
yeah.
no. You know, they want to see like the one, you know, blonde white girl to go in there and like be funny because they know I'm funny. But I mean, you know, a lot of this is just like, you never even know what people are looking for anymore either.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's hard out here for a bitch.
I bet. What's been an audition or some crazy moment you've had?
I got in a fight with a puppet recently. And I wasn't the only one. It's so funny. One of my buddies and I actually went in for the same thing, and we didn't see each other that day. We didn't know that we'd both gone in for this. We had to do a scene with the puppet. And the puppet was, you could tell this guy was an actor who was reading the scene, and he was just so bitter and so aggressive. And he got such an attitude with me. And it wasn't like we were improvising. It was like it was a very strict script
okay.
for a certain you know, demographic. It wasn't like, this wasn't an adult puppet. And I straight up like told the puppet off. So I leave the room steaming. I call one of my buddies. He's like, no, I got in the fight with the same puppet earlier. Like, so, I mean, the audition scene, there are days yeah. where it's just, it's really like, I loathe auditioning, but obviously this is what I want to do. So I'm very grateful to even get to be seen by people.
Right.
But I mean, it's humbling. It is so yeah. humbling, the things I've done in auditions. I've rolled around on the floor. I've had to, you know, pretend to like eat a tub of ice cream, like just crazy stuff.
You mentioned coming into the studio that you went on an audition that was for perhaps a different demo than you.
Yeah, it's so interesting being a woman in Hollywood too, because I do a lot of hookers. I audition to play a lot of hookers. And then the same day I'll have an audition to play a mom. It's like hooker, mom, hooker, mom.
Oh my God.
And I'm 28. And I had an audition the other day. And the breakdown was basically I was in my 40s and I was pretty but borderline obese. First of all, way to get so specific,
yeah.
all right? Big shout out to the writer. She's pretty, but she's borderline obese. So I'm not fully obese, and I'm not just chunky. It's borderline obese. Like, I'm teetering on diabetes, you know?
Yeah, yeah. What do you do with that? You just do it.
You go in there.
You just show up.
I showed up. I slayed the audition. I just, you know, wore the shirt that made me look the fattest that day. I ate a lot of sodium the night before, so I looked a little puffy and bloated, and I just went in there and crushed it. But it's crazy.
Nice.
It's like I'll never be, you know, thin enough to play the leading lady, the Rachel McAdams, but I'm also not like competing with Gabrielle Sinabede, you know, for the
yeah.
precious role. Like, I'm in this weird gray area of like, what do you do if you're just a normal-sized human?
Right.
And I've had managers, agents, all sorts of people say, either gain 50 pounds or lose 50 pounds because you got to be one or the other. And I'm like, I'm so grateful to people like Amy Schumer and, you know, and like Melissa McCarthy and these women who are just like, no, we're just normal women. Like, let us just play real women roles. You don't have to be one or the other. It's always extremes in Hollywood. Don't you feel that way?
I do. I do. In fact, we mentioned Amy Schumer, and I was looking at that interview she did on the Today Show where she had that stylist that actually, you know, could dress her confidently.
Yeah.
And it's like, to me, when I watch Amy stand up, I don't think that's like a woman that lacks confidence.
Right.
As successful as she is.
Right.
The name that she's become through her own hard work, that she still lacks confidence because of her appearance.
You know, I think she has looked so incredible recently. But yeah, she's a woman who's just like, she's going to go out with a tank top on and like shorts. She's, you know, she just does her thing. But yeah, I mean, it is so intimidating being in this business. And, you know, and if you're a confident woman, people either say, oh, well, then you're a bitch, you know. Mm-hmm. And I've always been so comfortable in my skin, maybe too comfortable at times where, you know, my friends are like, Heather, you can't go out in a onesie, you know, a nude onesie. Like, you're not pulling it off. But yeah, I mean, especially being a female comedian, you're already up for so much ridicule. And then to not be comfortable in your own skin, like, that's a hard thing to deal with. So I'm so happy for Amy that she's, you know, found somebody who makes her feel empowered by what she's wearing.
Right.
Good for her. Yeah. You go, girl.
Yes. Living out here, you have an interesting dynamic because you're in a long-distance relationship.
I am.
How does that work?
Big shout-out to Jeffrey. I call him the Italian Stallion. Yeah, Jeff lives in New York. You know, it works. People don't have to understand your relationship. And we actually joke because he and I have been together 4.5 years. And last year alone, we were in 12 weddings. So we have been together the longest, but all of our friends have gotten married. And it's just, you know, like, we make it work. We fly back and forth. You know, I call us bi-coastal lovers. To be totally honest with you, it's like, you know, it's much harder on him than it is on me because women in general, like, I was never one of those girls who's like, honey, love me, like, hold me, tell me I'm pretty. Like, I know I'm fabulous. And it's just a very adult relationship. Yeah. You know, I see him for 5 days, we have really good sex, and then I send his ass back on a plane to New York to make more money. You know, I think the dynamic's great.
It works for you.
It works for me.
Nice. Yeah, I know I always see, like, try to talk to people on the show that kind of have, like, a support system slash significant other, and how they play a part in the dream, in the hustle.
He is not an actor. I don't think I could ever date another actor, so it is so refreshing to me that he gets what I do and he's so supportive. Mm-hmm. But it's also like I would have to date somebody who's not in the business because it's refreshing to also not have to talk about it. And like, he was very selfless. He's like, we were living in New York and he said, you need to go to LA. I never want you to resent me for not going to like really crush your dreams. You know, I have a timeline on everything, but you know, things are really starting to pick up now, which is so exciting. But you know, Jeff's one of those guys, he does like real estate development and he just wants to be the guy on the red carpet holding my purse. You know, like he thinks what I do is fabulous. He's would come to my comedy shows and be in his like cute business suit on the front row, just being like, that's my girl. And so it's amazing to have a support system.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. What more can you ask for?
What more can you ask for? Now, my dad is the one who's still like, so when are you going to get, you know, join my mortgage company? And I'm like, Dad, I would rather run up and down the 405 naked than have like a real person job. Like, I just couldn't do it.
If you did that, then you'd gain all the followers in the world and then you'd be set.
Yeah.
So that you have a few more things to do before you go to do the mortgage.
Right.
Test out a few more things. Oh, well, it was great having you on. I encourage all of the listeners to check out Heather's Instagram to see the characters. They're really worth checking out. So definitely do that. Follow her on Twitter as well.
Yes. Same Instagram and Twitter handle. Grant, this has been so much fun. Thank you for having me on.
Of course. Yes. Well, please leave some comments for us regarding our show, Grant's Rants Hollywood Talk. I do appreciate any form of reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. Heather, thanks for coming in.
Thanks.
This has been Grant's Rants. Follow us on Twitter at Grants_Rants. Cover art created by Howie Roney. Voiceover by Sir Richard Wentworth. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arnson. Granted Wish Productions 2015.